When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. Three blues, three opinions, one Everton podcast.
Welcome to episode 174 of the Unholy Trinity Podcast, brought to you in association with Sports Social, the UK's only dedicated sports podcast network, and also Fanatics. What maybe should have said is sponsored by the 051. That one has been a little bit more fitting after yesterday's remarkable performance away at Brighton. Still can't believe it. Woke up this morning and thought I was dreaming when I looked over the goals again. Couldn't quite believe what I witnessed at the Amex yesterday. Unbelievable. Nobody foresaw it. We chatted last week, me and Lee, about the game, looking ahead to it. You know, we thought if we got a draw, it'd be a great point. And obviously before we played, we saw that Leicester fell to a 5-3 defeat at Fulham. So knew anything that we could have got would have been a real bonus. But Lee, how do you even begin to sum up that performance yesterday? Because it was out of absolutely nowhere. So un-Everton-like in terms of our away form, that's for sure. No win on the road since October the 1st at Southampton. How do you even sum it up?
I genuinely think you can't sum it up. I don't think any words do it justice. I mean, if there's anything to say, that we've showed signs, haven't we, in recent matches. Obviously, Leicester, where, you know, at times we played exceptionally well, sort of faded a bit there. And then, you know, as we discussed last week, didn't really make the required changes maybe to see it off. And then first 30 minutes against Newcastle before the goal, we were exceptional in that game, if you remember as well. So there's been signs. You know, there's been signs from, you know, players coming into form, I think, mainly since Dom's come back in, really, isn't it? I mean, he was exceptional yesterday. I mean, everyone played well, but he was certainly up there as one of the best players on the pitch. I mean, he makes so much difference to the way we play, doesn't he? The ability to be able to go into his feet, into his head, his ability to, you know, his clever runs off the ball, you know, his dexterity as well. You've got to remember, he's great feet. You know what I mean? I mean, the times yesterday, he rolled, dunked, then he got him booked. You know what I mean? He just shows you, mate. I think if we'd have had him fit pretty much most of the season, I don't think we'd be anywhere near where we are now. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of frailties in the side. But, you know, Dom really, really makes us look a completely different outfit, doesn't he? The way we play. I thought he was outstanding yesterday. And I think mainly our form, in as I said, in those two performances, certainly in patches, has coincided with him coming back into the team. And yesterday, you would say, pretty much throughout, it was a complete performance, I would say. I think that's the words to describe it. You know, both defensively and offensively. And then our keeper as well, I know you've put a few tweets out since the match. He was absolutely unbelievable. I mean, some of those saves were you know, could have changed the course of the game. Let's have it right. We conceded one, we could have then capitulated, as we have done this season, and conceded two or three quite quickly. So, yeah, that's the words I would use, mate. If you were going to sum it up, you'd say a complete performance, wouldn't it?
Totally agree with it. Yeah, totally agree. It is difficult to put into words, really, because it wasn't just an away win at a good side, a side who were pushing for European football and play some fantastic football. You know, we've done nothing but praise Brighton, you know, in the last sort of 12, 18 months, how well run they are, how nice they actually play the game. And we knew it was going to be a difficult task to actually go there and pick anything up from the Amex. But it was just fantastic. I mean, obviously, first of all, it helps the fans were certainly upbeat when they saw the emergence of Yerry Mina in the starting 11, which obviously we've been calling for quite a while. Great to see him back. And I thought he was superb, by the way. I thought, you know, he's give you everything that we thought that he would. You know, he's a leader. We know that he's a talker. He puts his head in the way of everything, as we saw yesterday. He's not shy of winding people up, as we also saw as well yesterday. So that really helps when you see the team news and you see him in. Nathan Patterson in a right back, obviously, for Seamus Coleman. But doesn't get much better than scoring a goal after 34 seconds, doesn't it? And what a goal it was. You know, I know it was early, and I know obviously sometimes sides take time to settle down. But you saw Everton, you know, on the lovely ball up to Dom, by the way. What a fantastic, you mentioned it earlier on, what a fantastic spin that was. You know, this is what Dominic Calvert-Lewin's all about. The little things like that, the strength on the ball, holding the ball up, bringing players in, good in the air. I think he had 13 aerial duels, won 9 yesterday, fantastic. But that little spin, lovely. And, you know, what a ball across that is. To Decore, who has been the midfielder, who has been the one pushing further forward ahead of the other two and providing support to Dominic Calvert-Lewin. And he stuck in at the time, was his third goal of the season. And when you get that kind of start, I know I was sitting there, we were discussing it with him as the game was going on, and it was almost felt like it was 89 minutes too early, because you thought, you know, if you're going to score, don't get a goal that early, because now you just thought it's going to be one-way traffic, Everton sitting back trying to soak it up. But great start to the game, and Everton just built on things from there, didn't they?
Yeah, I definitely echo your thoughts on that. I mean, if you look at what's clever in that move, Mike, is you mentioned Dom's ability there. He let the ball run through his legs. He's rolled him. But you know what's done that? It's the pass into him, because all day long it looks like a Iwobi shaping to clip it into the channel. Dunk's obviously tried to read that. It's going to go into the channel. And then he's played it inside, hasn't he? He's played it inside Dunk there, almost straight to Calvert-Lewin. But Dunk's kind of semi-off balance anyway as a result of the pass. And then obviously by letting it run across his body, letting it run through his legs, he's done him then completely. He's sold. He's gone. He's gone. He's out the game. And, you know, so early on in the game there, you're then thinking, I'm thinking, take this on and shoot here. Take this on and shoot. Because the defender's in that catch 22, isn't he? Do I go to him? Or do I, you know, but then he takes a touch that goes wide, and then you're thinking, oh, can't get a shot off now. But then, you know, we've all been in that situation. It's not an easy ball that then, because, you know, you've got to try and get it to the, you know, your player in the box. But he could have easily picked out the keeper. If you go too close to the keeper, he could have picked out the defender, but he's not, you know, he's picked him out brilliantly, played it behind the defender, and then Decore's just got to get anything on it, and it's a goal, you know. And what a start, like you said. I mean, instantly that just lifts the whole place. And we've been saying, you know, quite a few times under Dyche, well, under anyone really this season, that if, you know, if we score first, then that just gives us, you know, a real chance, because a lot of games where we haven't scored first, we've gone on to suffer, haven't we, this season. So what a fantastic goal that was. And just to echo your comments there as well on Mina, you know, Dyche there, you know, there's plenty of managers, Benitez before him, and plenty of others who've been super stubborn when fans have called for players to be dropped. And to be fair, you know, he's eating a bit of humble pie there and brought Yerry Mina in. And I'll be honest with you, Mike, he hasn't played a minute since January. I was thinking, this is a massive game to come into here. Not played a minute of football, you know, always takes you a while to get into your fitness, your match fitness. I mean, that's an incredible performance he's put in there. In a game of that magnitude, under that much pressure. And like you said, he got his body in the way, he headed everything. He was a mammoth at the back. And, you know, also what I noticed, little subtle things as well, you probably noticed this as well, but do you know, when we were under pressure in the second half, how calm he was playing it out under pressure as well and finding players. He wasn't just, you know, hoofing it like the Alamo getting get rid. He was actually trying to find Iwobi or Patterson out wide, and very calm on the ball. And you forget that for someone that looks so gangly on the ball as well, he's actually not a bad footballer, is he?
No, he doesn't get that kind of praise, does he? I've always said I trust him on the ball out of our centre-halves more than anybody. And people might find that a bit strange, but I always think that Yerry Mina has got decent feet. I really do. And he showed a bit of that yesterday, like you say. But I think the most important thing with him being in there, you've got two centre-halves then, one either side, you can coach Patterson on one side, Mikhailenko on the other side, talking to the midfield at all times, you're seeing the whole game. And we need that, with Seamus being obviously out for the season now. Luckily, injury not as bad as we first feared. But with him being out, we needed that second leader to come in. And that's why I think it was so important to bring Yerry Mina in yesterday. There's a lot of talk and rumours around, you know, if he makes 100 appearances for Everton, we've got to pay Barcelona more money. I think now, with him playing yesterday, he's going to get to 99. He played the rest of the games this season, so we should be safe on that front. It's strange, you know, I don't know if it's true or not, but it's what's been doing the rounds this week. But he was terrific, of course, and you always have to, you know, build from the back, you know, when it comes from a solid defensive base. And I think defensively yesterday, you know, at times in the second half especially, it was a lot of a war of attrition, really. We had to concentrate, we had to be on the ball and certainly make sure that everybody knows what they're doing to see Brighton out, because Brighton had quite a few chances there. Second half, which we'll come on to in a minute, but going back to that first half, obviously getting that first goal, really great start for us. Thought it was, as we say, thought it was far too early for us to actually go on and win the game. But then you look at then what happens after, and Everton just seems to threaten on the counter, which, you know, Everton haven't really, you know, in terms of a counter-attacking side, we haven't been fantastic in that department, because we haven't felt we've had the players with the pace to cause problems. But I thought Brighton left holes all over the place, and you know, whether that's how they play week in, week out, and because they put so much pressure on a defence in terms of an attacking team, they got so much talent in obviously wide positions essentially as well. Obviously the likes of McAllister, Caicedo, Matoma, Solly Marsh, who came on. There's so much talent there that they almost needed two centre-halves to do the defending, and it was to the detriment. But Everton were terrific. I mean, the second goal, the Corey is the one who starts things off from the edge of our own box. And within sort of 7-8 seconds, he's the one putting the ball in back of the net on the volley. You know, and that shows you the attitude of the players, I think, yesterday. And no one was more surprised than me when he hit that ball in the back of the net, because when it comes over from Dwight McNeil, I'm screaming to take a touch, because I didn't think I'd hit in his locker to be able to control side foot control volley into the goal. I thought it's just not going to happen, but what a finish. And I think it's almost been forgotten in the grand scheme of things, because we saw Dwight McNeil do the old Ross Barkley celebrate before he scored, and then also score one late in stoppage time to make it 5-1. That second from Decore has been forgotten, and for me, it's probably our goal of the season.
Oh, it's certainly up there. I mean, what a move that is. You know, I mean, the counter-attack, you know, whenever you counter, it's about a couple of things. It's speed and it's accuracy and playing the right pass, isn't it? You know what I mean? And it was all of those things. We won the ball, as you said, deep in our own half. Decore was the one who started it. And, you know, McNeil there, I mean, even with, like you just said, describe his last goal and then the goal where he's gone around the keeper. McNeil, in the last few games, has turned into prime Ryan Giggs. Where's this pace come from, by the way? Where's this pace come from? It's unbelievable. You know what I mean? And that last goal where he's roofed it, roof of the net, you know, that was Giggs, wasn't it? Roof of the net job. Was it against Arsenal or something? Against Winterburn. So, I mean, it's unbelievable, mate. I mean, like, no one would have predicted this. You know, we were all at the start of the season saying, why the hell have we signed Dwight McNeil? We've, you know, spunked them in, what, 15 million quid at the wall here. You know what I mean? And now he's looking a bargain, isn't he? I mean, 7 goals this season. How many assists has he got? He's probably got 5 or 6, hasn't he? He's not far off that.
They've given him 3, because they haven't given him the one from the third goal yesterday where he fires it across and hits the goalie and goes in. Has not gone down as an assist. So it should really be at least 4. But listen, the output for a player who last season, I always repeat this point, no goals and 1 assist all season last season. And so far, he's our leading goal scorer with 7 goals. I'd argue 4 assists instead of the 3, which is being quoted.
In a side that scored what? Up until yesterday, scored what? 28 goals or something like that, if that?
27. So on 32 goals, you know. And so in our last two games, we scored 7 goals, Everton. You know, for a side who hasn't in recent weeks prior to the Leicester game created very much. Yeah. That's an impressive turnaround. Over 20 shots, I think it was 23 shots against Leicester. And then we had 10 yesterday with 5 on target, 5 goals. It's some return.
Mate, like, we've scored nearly a quarter of our goals in 2 games.
Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, when you put it like that, you know, 25%, just under 25% of our goals have come in the last 2 games. Absolutely unbelievable, just when you need it as well. So, no, you're right. I mean, that pick out's everything, because the play was opening up in front of him. There was different passes on, but he's lifted his head. He stayed calm. How many times have you said that, by the way? Just stay calm, pick the right pass, and he did that. And like you said, Decore, I mean, you know, 99% of people probably would have brought that down and then, you know, still had time to get the shot off. But he surprised the keeper, didn't he, by taking it first time. And you know, not only got it on target, it's really accurate as well. Great finish. And nothing more than we deserved at that time, by the way. You know what I mean? I mean, we were looked so dangerous on the counter. I genuinely think Brighton, as we said, we rightly lauded them before the game. They were exceptional at Goodison. They've been exceptional all season. You know, Mitoma was causing problems. You know, I thought Patterson, you know, special mention for him because, you know, clearly Dice didn't trust him. You know, the fact that he's played centre-halves in that position ahead of him, God knows what he was thinking. You know, there was a lot of clamours from us as fans to get Patterson back in the side when Sheamus was out. And, you know, he was actually, let's be honest, and this is being honest here, Matoma's probably been one of the best wingers in the league this season. Well, he has. There's no doubt about it. Very few fullbacks have had a good game against him. You know, I think Wan-Bissaka is the only one recently who's sort of had, you know, got the better of him in the duels, really. And that's only because Wan-Bissaka's an out-and-out defender. He gives you nothing going the other way. He's very good one-on-one, as we know. So Mitoma, you know, if you look at it, those first three times, they were looking for him every single time, weren't they? And every time he got it, those first three times he got it, he cut onto his right foot, put three dangerous crosses into the back post. We defended them very well. The fourth time he got it, he shaped across it again and then went down the line. So he ran Patterson down the line then, skinned him. So imagine you're a fullback then going, geez, this lads can go either way, you know. How do you defend this? You know what I mean? I said to you, didn't I, half time, it's almost like watching Ginola, it could go either way. You know, as a fullback, you've got no clue which way he's going to go. And that's why he's so dangerous, isn't he? Because he has got that turn of speed. He's got that close control. And after that, Patterson got to grips with him and was absolutely outstanding. You could see Dyche, you know, constantly shouting, saying, well done, Patter, well done. You know what I mean? He clearly was, you know, aggressive. Didn't allow him to sort of run at him ever again after he got skinned the first time. So, you know, he was outstanding. And then, mate, let's have it right. Before we scored the third goal, we had chances as well. You know, we had, you know, again, some really good football. That lovely move, Garner with a lovely ball, the wrong side of the defender, gets pulled back to Dwight McNeil. Lovely. I tell you what, that's, you know, shapes the shoot, lets it run across his body again. It's effectively cleared off the line because the keeper was beaten there, wasn't he? Do you know what I mean? And it's obviously blocked off the line. And then obviously we went on to get the third goal. And like you said, really, I mean, it was another good goal, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, I'm obviously the initial ball from Alex Iwobi. Obviously the ball went wide, didn't it? And we were almost cursing our luck there. He played the ball too far.
He's overhit it, and he just had to float it into him, didn't he? He didn't have to play it on the floor, did he?
That's it. But obviously, it's kept alive. It's the core guy coming back into McNeil and Dwight McNeil. Sean Dyche alluded to it in the press conference after the game. He's saying it seems to be that bit more direct and carry the ball. And, you know, he's got to trust himself because he's got to, you know, he can carry the ball really well at pace, which is what we saw quite a bit of yesterday. And to be fair, at Leicester, he's obviously got the ball. He goes at the defender. You know, he beats him. Fires it across, you know, in a great area. The goalkeeper's position was terrible, by the way. I'm not a Premier League goalkeeper, but the basics for me as a goalkeeper was always, I'd always put my foot on the post in that position. If his foot's on the post, it doesn't go in. But he's so far from the post that he gives Dwight McNeil every opportunity to fire it across, get a touch, and it goes in. And at that point of 3-0, you're thinking, Jesus Christ, might have to get a point here. Because I didn't even think at that point it was going to be, we were going to win the game. You know, it's that's what Everton does to you. But you thought,
I texted the group saying we need a minimum of five.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I think that's the only time I'd feel like five, then it's done. You know what I mean? And right on half time, then we create another great chance. Another cracking move down the left hand side. You know, another Dwight McNeil involved again. You know, Calvert-Lewin, they almost get in each other's way, don't they? And then it falls to Garner. And I mean, he may bury this because it's the last kick of the half, 4-0, and I actually feel like I can actually enjoy the second half, maybe. And if you look at it again, actually, it's the keeper doesn't save. It's cleared off the line, isn't it? It hits Dunk behind him, so it's actually going in. So it's a bit unlucky, really, wasn't he?
It wasn't given as a shot on target because it was blocked. Like I said to you at half time, he didn't count it as a shot on target, and I watched it back again today, and that was the reason why it's classed as a block shot, clearly on target. But, you know, you saw Sean Dyche on the sideline. He was fuming, wasn't he? Because he knows himself. You go in there 4-0 up, that's the game. You've got to feel it. But at three, you just think, if you get one back here, we're going to be nervy. And the second half sort of showed that in a way, you know, I said to you lads, you know, It was the 73rd minute was the first time we got ourselves up the pitch with any kind of sustained possession. And then we won a free kick after about 30 seconds of possession. And that was the first time in the second half when we actually got a little bit of respite from Brighton, because they just pushed. Fair play to them. You know, they made four subs at half-time. Solly Marks made a massive difference. I thought he was tremendous. They went from a lot of play down there left with Matoma to a lot of play down there right with Marks. And he was, I thought he was terrific. He gave Mikhailenko a really difficult time in that second half. But you just think, you know, at 3-0, we've got to make sure we keep our clean sheet intact. And let's get it right. It was down to an inspired second half performance by Jordan Pickford, make no mistake, because some of those saves he made on the hour mark in and around that time, if one of them goes in, I think Everton don't win the game, whether we get a point or not. Everton don't get 3 points. The save from the header, which was onside, by the way, because it's...
If it had been reviewed, that would have been given, definitely.
Would have been given. What a save from
that's behind him, wasn't it? Behind him, mate.
Brilliant. And, you know, Evan Ferguson came on, and I thought it was brilliant. He caused us problems. He scored against us at Goodison Park, didn't he? But what a find he's been this season for them. Big lad, great feet, great in the air, big, strong kid. Did well when he came on. But what a save that was. What a save it was from Ferguson again, tipped onto the bar from Jordan Pickford. He saved from, was it McAllister header? Another one he's palmed away. This is all before, wasn't it, the fourth goal? So Jordan Pickford, you know, he's put in a real shift there and showing everyone yet again why he's the best keeper this country's got. And at that point, the time's ticking away. I'm clock watching, thinking, listen, just see it out. Because if they get a goal, I mean, we were all on edge of 3-0. And then all of a sudden, we sort of break away, don't we? And Solly March, you know, we're chasing Alex Iwobi, hamstring pops, which was great for us. I thought, don't kick the ball out. Don't stop, just take it. And what a lovely ball that was. That's almost got lost in everything as well. Lovely ball to Dwight McNeil, who, by the way, that's composure personified, that when he just sort of sends the defender and the goalkeeper for an echo and a hot dog, and he's passed him and he's celebrating before he scores. And at that point of 4-0, I almost allow myself to relax, almost.
I mean, I think a lot has to be said there about that pass, you're right. Not enough has been said about it. I mean, like I said, Iwobi's clever pass that made the first goal. Obviously, Dom's had a lot to do, but it was a good ball again. You know, Iwobi's been, you know, at times slated recently. I mean, he was at fault for the second goal against Leicester, wasn't he? Where he's obviously come inside and given the ball away, it's led to the goal. But fair play, he showed a lot of character both in that game, scoring the equaliser in the second half. Let's be honest, many players would have gone under after giving a goal away like that in a crucial game. He's come back and got us back in the game with a great finish. And then that pass for the fourth goal, like you said, is almost, well, it's nearly as good, if not as good, as the finish, isn't it? Because there wasn't really much on. If you look at, was it Decore running at the back stick? It may have been Calvert-Lewin, I can't remember. And then you had McNeil making that run, and you're thinking, you know, he's obviously running into spacing. How's he going to find someone there now? And then if you look, McNeil obviously points there. But I've been saying this so many times, you know, weight of pass is everything, isn't it? Weight of pass is absolutely everything. And that weight of pass was perfect. He didn't have to do anything. You know, he had time then to took the defender out of the game. And then he's obviously put them both on their backside there. What a finish size. And then obviously to celebrate, Ross Barkley-esque, like you said there, was iconic, wasn't it? And then speaking of weight of pass, I mean, what a ball from Onana then. Obviously, the game's done now. Although, like you said, let's just say before, you know, they never looked like scoring. And then they scored almost the most comical FIFA-esque own goal that you've ever... Oh, sorry, not even an own goal, but it may as well have been. Yeah. You know what I mean? They never looked like scoring and past Pickford. And then to score a goal like that is just, like, unbelievable. And even then, you're thinking, what's the clock saying? It was like 79, 80 minutes. You're thinking, right, they've got essentially 15 minutes here now and there's three back in it. And then you're thinking... Oh, my God. But then, to be fair, you know, only an Everton fan would think that way, 4-1 up with 10 minutes ago, by the way. Yeah.
They had that one chance, didn't he? Again, Ferguson scribbled and didn't catch it, and Pickford got down to his left in the side. So that was a bit of a warning. But outside of that, I thought Everton managed those final 10 or 15 minutes pretty well. And like you say, the ball from Mamadou Onana, who came off the bench for the last handful of minutes or so, Maybe surprisingly for some that James Garner got the nod, but I thought, yet again, acquitted himself very, very well, as he did at Leicester. I think a really efficient performance from him. I think he's a neat and tidy footballer, and he's fitting into that system really well at the moment, to be honest. But Onana comes on, obviously, yet again, with a little breakaway. By that time, obviously, Brighton are just doing whatever they can to try and get in the round the Everton box and put the pressure on. What a ball that is. That's a fantastic assist. You know, I know Dwight McNeil's got a little bit to do there because it's a great finish, but yet again, the ball makes it. The way he just bends it around the defender, like you say, way to pass is absolutely perfect. Dwight McNeil, as Sean Dyche has been saying, told him to carry the ball, be direct, go at pace, does exactly that. And we know how good his left foot is. He doesn't score poor goals. Dwight McNeil hasn't done all season. Every single goal that he scored has been a highlight reel goal for me, you know, and he did it twice yesterday, but that second one, nothing better than getting a goal deep into stoppage time, seal a 5-1 win at such a good opponent in Brighton, and then get the fella in the crowd giving the old hand signals to Dwight.
That was hilarious.
Caught on camera, but lovely goal, wasn't it?
Like I said to you, mate, he turned into prime Ryan Giggs there. I mean, or even better, you could probably say he's got a left foot of Rivaldo the way he hits it with that, you know, a rocket near post. I mean, again, he's looking to sort of that little, he gives himself that yard by faking to almost, you know, play the pass. Gross then sort of stops and that gives him the yard and then he just absolutely rifles it in the top corner. And then you think, wow. I mean, he's just been announced, you know, I'm going to say man of the match, just been announced. And then, unbelievable, mate. I mean, and that just caps it off. Absolutely capped off a perfect display, as I said before, you know, a complete performance and a vital time as well, because none of us would have expected that whatsoever. Brighton are one of the form teams in the league. They've been rightly lauded in so many places. I was listening to Gillan Balagay on the radio the other day saying about he spent half an hour solely talking with Unai Emery at the weekend about how good De Zerbi was as a coach. You know what I mean? That's with Unai Emery, obviously a fellow Spaniard of his, and then how Spurs are sniffing around him already. They've apparently made approach for him, you know, rightly so. I mean, the stat about Sassuolo when he was there that they, in Serie A, bear in mind some of the teams in that league, they were the team that had the most possession, you know, at Sassuolo, mate. You know, Sassuolo, when you consider some of the teams in that league, and Brighton have been exceptional under Zerbi, so he's rightly got the plaudits, but you know, we've done them. You know what I mean? We've done them. We've sat off. You know, I said to you, almost it's almost frustrating why we've not kind of played that way in some of the games, particularly away from home, where we've, you know, if we'd have played that way, say, you know, against possibly even Forest, where we'd have, you know, a bit more dangerous on the counter. But then I was thinking that, but then I thought, well, no, we didn't have Dom, did we? And that's the big difference. Dom has allowed us to play this way now, where we can counter with, you know, with an actual genuine threat because of the way he holds the ball up and brings other people into the game.
Well, Dom came back against Palace, didn't he? Away from home. And I think, you know, we look at the games since then. Obviously, we've had the Palace game. We've had the Newcastle game, Leicester. Obviously, we've then gone into the game against Brighton. And you, if you watch Dominic Calvert-Lewin, what he's done for me is he's made us a more complete outfit and certainly much more of a threat because he's a proper number nine. But if you look at his how much he's improved in terms of him and his fitness in that time, it's night and day. He's got better and better and better. He's got stronger and stronger. Obviously got a goal against Leicester. Could have had a goal against Brighton. He had the one shot where he sent the keeper the wrong way. Actually, it was actually quite clever in the first half, but he dragged the ball wide, but got an assist yesterday. And his first half performance against Brighton, I thought was as good as I've ever seen him. I thought it was fantastic. And with him now being at probably full match fitness, looking big, looking strong, he's an absolute menace. And it's what we've lacked. And like you said earlier on the show, if he would have been fit for, you know, the rest of the season, would we be where we are? Possibly not. You know, it might have been say 12th, 13th, but a bit higher than we are, and maybe not in the trouble that we find ourselves in. But he was terrific, and having a focal point in Dominic Calvert-Lewin means that Everton now have got that release, haven't they? So if we need to try and relieve a bit of pressure, Dom can draw a foul, So it was a fantastic performance from him, and a fantastic performance from Evan. And the manager, it's got to be said, he got it absolutely spot on in terms of his selection. And it was great to see us come away with a 5-1 win. But I know obviously it's going to be a short podcast today. So many things going on. Of course, we thought we'd try and fit one in. We know we've got Man City at the weekend, which is a huge ask for any side at this moment in time. You know, it's not really, we haven't really got a great deal amount of time to even sit here and preview that. They've got a game against Real Madrid, obviously, before they play us. They're on for the title. But in terms of before we shoot, Lee, just your thoughts on what does that win do for the confidence for the Everton players and the fans and the manager going into Manchester City on Sunday?
I mean, it's a massive shot in the arm. It's a massive shot in the arm, not only getting the win, but the way we won. You know, and that's the big one for me. I mean, in a weird way, I kind of wish we were playing Wolves and Bournemouth now, because then obviously you're carrying that form momentum into games where you've got, you know, a much better chance of winning. Now, going into City now, you know, even if we play that same level again, they've got so much quality, they could still roll us over. You know what I mean? That's how good they are, and they can play a very different way. As Dave said after the game, you know, Brighton like to have the ball, City like to have the ball, but City can hurt you in a number of ways, and they've obviously got a lot of quality in that team. You've just got to hope that tonight's game is a real tight game against Madrid, where, you know, potentially even some injuries possibly, or niggles, you know what I mean, before the Everton game. But if they do play tonight and it's a really tight game going into second leg, that suits us down to the ground. We could do with our friend Carlo there putting in a performance, his team putting in a performance tonight, and then making the second leg, obviously, you know, a lot more on the line, if you like, which means you may have to rest players against Everton, or certainly maybe put a slightly changed line. And don't get me wrong, the subs they've got on the bench, you know, we're still going to be underdogs going into that game, but it just gives you a lot more confidence going in there that maybe we can try and nick a point. Obviously, they need to win. I mean, the downside of Arsenal getting that win against Newcastle and everything else means that obviously City still have to be honest, don't they? And obviously win every game to win the title. But, you know, I just you know, we got a point at their place. It just lifts the lads. I've just got to hope, Mike, that we just don't get turned over heavily. I know that sounds stupid after we've just had the best performance of the season, but I just hope that, you know, we just keep it tight. And we put in a, you know, the performance that allows us to carry the momentum into the next two games. You know, City can turn up at any time, and if they do tonkers a few by a few goals, all of a sudden that momentum's lost going into the Wolves game, isn't it? So trying not to finish too much on a negative, but I'm, you know, also trying to think, well, look, let's just try and carry that positivity into the game and try and get something out of the game. If we get a draw, it'll be a hell of a result.
Yeah, totally agree. We've got to make sure that we're in. Obviously, we can stay in the game as long as we can. Like you say, City are going to be competitive because of the fact that Arsenal beat Newcastle. But I do think the game in Europe will have a bit of an impact on things. If they run away with it, then the chances are they will play quite a strong side against Everton, you know, because if they win it, say, 3-4-0, which I'm not saying it's going to happen because Carlo Ancelotti and Madrid are a strong side, but if they do run away with it, then, you know, it'll make that probably a bit more difficult for us. But if they're in a tie, if it's competitive with Real Madrid, if it's a close game by a goal or two or a draw, then that, I think, will help out because they will make a few changes come Sunday. But we know how strong they are, what a side they are, Manchester City, what a squad that they've got. They made changes against Leeds and basically coasted that game and still have really scored about 4 or 5, in my opinion, but wasted a lot of chances and obviously missed a penalty and made it nervy for themselves. But that win against Brighton will give us a lot of confidence, it's got to be said. And you know, we've got to be disciplined once again, set up in a similar way. Hopefully all the players come through it unscathed and a fit, and we'll be wrapped in cotton wool this week. And we can do something, like you say, a point will be massive and help us in our steps, hopefully staying in the Premier League. But let's see what happens. Fingers crossed. Back to Goodison Park on Sunday. But that's us for today, us for this week. We'll be back after the Man City game to look back on that game and look ahead. The season's nearly at a close. Look ahead to that trip to Wolverhampton Wanderers the following weekend. So we will catch you then.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. Three Blues. three opinions, one Everton podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Sports Social Podcast Network.